Today we wrap up a series that has been a really true blessing for me. I have actually heard from quite a bit of you as well, which I really appreciate. And I've done, you know, a lot of different series here and in other congregations, but I don't know that we've experienced the amount of positive response that we have from the congregation from any other series more than this particular one. So I'm very thankful for that. And thank you for sharing those things that God is working in your heart. As we opened up this series, we began, and we always should begin, in understanding that all biblical forgiveness is rooted and grounded in the victory of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He has truly paid it all. And any forgiveness that happens from within our heart as believers in Christ Jesus flows out of the forgiveness that was worked through the cross of Calvary. We continued and talked about how that should continue to flow in and through our lives. This is kind of where the rubber hits the road, and this is where, honestly, it becomes a little bit difficult. We are born sinful and separated from God. We are born in need of salvation. We are born with the sinful nature that has affected and infected every aspect of our humanity. Our mind, will, and our emotions are affected by this sinful condition. Oftentimes, we can think of ourselves as funnels. A lot of times, our funnels become plugged through unforgiveness, through sin that's hindering our life, and through other various distractions that the world and the devil bring our way. We continued and talked that believers are to pursue biblical reconciliation. This is something we should seek after and desire. It's something we should continually try to foster and nurture within our hearts and our homes, the desire to live as forgiven people, but reminding ourselves that the forgiven are called to forgive. Again, this is all rooted in the victory of Christ Jesus. We continued by talking about how judgmentalism and legalism and moralism fosters unforgiveness. We remind ourselves that when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. We remind ourselves that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The ground is level at the cross. No single person deserves to be saved more than another. No single person has earned salvation more than another. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when we walk in a judgmental spirit, we are walking in a way that is contrary to the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. We think that we're like discernment is happening, but when discernment has malice and arrogance and pride attached to it, it becomes judgmentalism. Biblical discernment is rooted and grounded in the mercy and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We turned our hearts to our homes, and that biblical forgiveness begins to work within our marriages as we, as married couples and families, seek to display and reflect as an act of worship the characteristics of the triune God that we serve. Unity in the midst of diversity, distinct persons becoming one. Allowing Christ to knit us together in a way that only He can within our marriages and our families, but also within our congregational life. Really appreciated Pastor Ben's sermon last week. If you weren't here, I highly encourage you to listen to it. He asked some very profound questions. Those who have hurt you, what is the first thing that enters into your mind as you see or think about that person? Has forgiveness really taken root in your heart? Are you walking in the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ toward our friends and our family? Very profound questions. Today we look at forgiveness rooted in Christ Jesus as new creations in Christ Jesus. And join me, please, as we turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read through verses 20 through 25, but we're going to look at the verses that surround that text. Ephesians chapter 4, 20 through 25. This chapter I really love, and if you think about transportation, and I think all of us thought about transportation this morning, how are we going to get to church? Are we going to get to church? And obviously a lot of people chose to stay home, which is a blessing as well. But transportation, we sometimes take it for granted until it's hindered, right? When we think about the time of Jesus, what was the primary form of transportation? They walked. They walked everywhere. Jesus might have been and maybe is the greatest pedestrian that ever lived. As he walked around and preached the gospel of Christ, revealed himself as the Messiah, Jesus was the one who provided salvation through his life, death, and resurrection. But this picture of walking kind of implies a couple different things. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. As it starts out in this chapter, we have a destination in mind. Jesus always walked with a purpose. We follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ only in the power of his Holy Spirit because of what he has done, not in our own strength. But that destination that we seek in this chapter that Paul reminds us of is that destination of unity and spiritual maturity rooted in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's our destination. That's where we're headed as a congregation. That's where God calls us to in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as we do this with three building block characteristics that Paul begins his chapter with. All humility, gentleness, with patience. Bearing with one another, eager to maintain the unity of the bond of peace, not eager to point out people's failings or faults, not eager to point out when somebody might have misspoke or when somebody might have acted inappropriately, but eager to maintain the unity in the bond of peace, putting on the new self. Because the old self, yeah, we want to tear people down to make ourselves look a little bit better, don't we? Our old self wants to point out people's flaws so that we can feel a little bit better about ourselves. Our old self wants to be first in the grocery line, not get behind someone who has way more items than we do. We're selfish by nature. We are sinful. And we justly deserve God's temporary and eternal punishment. The ground is level at the cross. But thanks be to Jesus Christ and his great love. Through his victory, we are set free. Through his victory, we become new creations in Christ Jesus. And after salvation, we have the honor and privilege as an act of worship to continually, through the power of God's word and the working of the Holy Spirit, put on the new self, which proclaims the saving gospel of Christ with and without words. That's where we're headed today. And so join me in standing, if you're able, as we read from God's holy word, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 25, reading in Christ's name. But that is not the way that you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Lord, I thank you for this text and this reminder to put on the new self. We understand that apart from you, we can do nothing. But we also understand that there is a responsibility for the faith and the salvation that you have entrusted us with. May we take that seriously here this morning. I do pray that every word that proceeds from my mouth would come from you and not from me, in the power of your Holy Spirit, according to your holy word. Jesus, I do pray that you would receive all the glory, honor, and praise. I pray this in Christ's precious name, and all of God's people said, you may be seated. As we started out the series, we reminded ourselves that, again, all forgiveness is rooted in the victory of Christ Jesus. All assurance of faith is rooted in the victory and the atonement of Christ Jesus. Why is this really important? You'll never have peace with God without assurance of faith. You'll never become who God desires you to become without the assurance of faith, without trusting in the victory of Christ Jesus. As Paul asked that profound question in Romans, then do, as I rest in this freedom and this victory of Christ Jesus, do I continue in sin that grace may abound? No. That's not counting that salvation as a treasure. That's not walking according to God's holy word as an act of worship to a holy God who is worthy. As Paul writes here, he says, then this is not the way that you have learned Christ. We don't learn Christ in the sense that we don't understand that responsibility. This calling to allow Christ to transform us, to be transformed continually through the renewing of our minds, through the working of the Holy Spirit according to the Word of God. This is a process that never ends. It doesn't matter how old you are, how much you know, what degree you have. It doesn't matter how young you are in the faith, how old you are in the faith. We all have more to learn about Jesus. And if we think we've arrived, and it's like, when can we just kind of get off this whole crucifixion and resurrection thing? If you ever think that, it's a dangerous place to be. Because I'm telling you, the more I learn about Scripture and the older I get, the more I long to hear it. The more I understand the words of Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't come to you with lofty words or wisdom. I come to you knowing Christ and Him crucified. The moment that we get bored with the cross of Christ is the moment we've entered into a dangerous place. We should never, ever, as believers, get tired of hearing that when the Son sets you free. We should never, ever tire of hearing that there is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For all past, present, and future sins of the believer has been nailed to the cross, and its consequences have been disarmed, and you have been set free. And you become a child of the Most High King. But there's this beautiful exchange that happens. God creates in us a new heart, and He places His Holy Spirit within us. And we desire to change. But there's this war, isn't there? There's this war in ourselves that, again, we tend to gravitate towards selfishness. We tend to gravitate towards a critical and judgmental spirit. We tend to gravitate toward unforgiveness. But the forgiven are called to forgive. The forgiven are called to walk toward that destination of unity and spiritual maturity, dying to the old self, dying to judgmentalism, dying to a critical spirit. Paul asked that question, if you were taught in Him, and that's not the way that you learn Christ. We need to continually and constantly reaffirm our identity in Christ. This is not a one-time event. I don't know about you, but I got to do it continually. I've had a few people have discussions with me about sin, and there's been several people that have talked to me throughout the history of me being a pastor. And one person came up and said, I'm really uncomfortable with the amount that you talk about your own sin. I'm like, why? He's like, well, as a pastor, you should be further along than you are. And I go, well, what do you mean by that? He's like, well, I just don't sin that much anymore. And I go, huh? I said, do you have a driver's license? And they're like, yeah, why? And I go, what did you think on the way over here? Did someone cut you off? Well, yeah. Did you think about anything negative toward that person? Yeah. Have you ever been in a car accident that wasn't your fault? Well, I guess, yes, I have. Were you angry? Yeah. All of that's sin. So has all that gone away when you drive? Well, no. But we painted these white picket fences to make ourselves look better than we do. Grocery line. You walk into a grocery line. Have you ever walked up there with two or three things and the person in front of you has about 150 things? And you're thinking, oh, just let me go first. You should just let me go first. That's our selfishness. Some would call it common sense, but I call it selfishness. I call it sin. Because we should always place the needs of others as more important than ourselves if we walk as new creations in Christ Jesus. We should always be eager to maintain the unity and the bond of peace in the life of the congregation. And that transformation, something happens. We begin to have patience with personality types that kind of grate against us. We begin to have grace and mercy towards one another, even if we disagree with one another, maybe politically or other things. I drive a Chevy, you drive a Ford. That argument happened all the time at my home. The bigger argument was whether you had a green tractor or a red tractor. Who cares? Does it work? But we do, we get that way. We become selfish and we become prideful and we become arrogant. And some of those things can be funny and can be jokes, and I think that's okay. But when it comes to the body of Christ, I think it's a dangerous place to be if you think that you know a little bit more than the next person or that I'm not going to learn anything from this person. Man, I learn stuff from my kids all the time. Every time I have a conversation with my boys, I always learn something from them. What a beautiful thing to always be a learner, a disciple of Christ, that we are always in process, always eager to learn, to know more about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul writes about this continual process. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. This isn't a one and done. It's a continual process. And we are being transformed into the image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so that's why Paul says, put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And that true righteousness and holiness is not within ourselves. It is only for the righteousness of Christ and the powerful working of the Holy Spirit according to the Word of God. We grow in our dependency on God's Word. We grow in our dependency on the cross of Calvary, because that is the place and the means by which forgiveness of sins is worked and extended to all humanity. But it is also the place where we are molded and shaped into the people God longs for us to be, to remind ourselves that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that I do not deserve salvation. I have not earned it. What I have earned is the right to be punished for all eternity. That's what we've earned. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life, and that is found through the forgiveness of sin in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that message should never become boring to us. But then allow that message to continually mold you and shape you, to allow you to become unobstructed funnels for God's love and forgiveness. This doesn't mean, again, biblical discernment is thrown out the window. But what it does mean is that any type of truth that you speak to your neighbor that's in this text, anytime you speak the truth in love, it is rooted and grounded in the mercy of Jesus Christ. Amen? That no matter what we do, whether it is a time of confronting someone on their sin in love, or whether it's encouraging someone for what they are doing for the service of the church, we do so with words that are building them up, encouraging them. Words that don't tear down. We're going to talk about that in a minute. I have to continually ask myself, am I responding out of Christ's love, or am I reacting out of my sinful nature? That's a good question to ask ourselves. Am I responding out of Christ's love, or am I reacting out of my sinful nature? Nothing, in my opinion, preaches the gospel more clearly than a transformed life lived as an act of worship to a holy God. Nothing. The final thing that we see in our text is that biblical forgiveness fosters unity and spiritual maturity. Paul reminds us in verse 25, therefore, having put away falsehood, he's assuming that this has happened, and I'm assuming that this has happened, that we stop buying into the lies and the deceptions of this world. Maybe the lies that were told to you as a child. I was told a lot of lies as a child. Some of it came from my so-called, quote-unquote, friends at school. And some of the lies came from me from abuse that I received. I bought into some of the dysfunction. I started to believe sometimes that I was worthless, that I was stupid and foolish, and I would never amount to anything. There are many times I bought into that lie. But as that song said that we sang earlier, we need to remind ourselves who we are in Christ Jesus. We need to reaffirm where our identity is. We are someone that is so valuable that Jesus left the 99 and went after the one. This doesn't mean we become prideful. This doesn't mean we become arrogant. But what it does mean is that our freedom, our salvation, is rooted into a God who saves us beyond our wildest imagination. This is how we've learned Christ. We don't learn Christ in a way that's like, well, if my good outweighs my bad, I'll be saved. No, that's karma. Christianity is not karma. Christianity is resting and trusting in the victory of Christ Jesus, but also embracing the responsibility and the calling that we have to grow as believers in Christ Jesus. Therefore, have been putting away falsehood, let us, each one of us, speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We're a family. Does a family seek to kill or hurt or harm itself? Hopefully not. To lift each other up, to speak the truth in love, rooted and grounded in the mercy of Jesus Christ. And so I did buy into some of those lies. I also bought into the lies of the world. The things that are going to make you happy is a great career, a lot of money, and maybe even being famous. My greatest desire beyond any desire as a kid was to be a drummer in a rock band. And I wasted a lot of time on that. I love music. I love music with all my heart, and I believe that music is something that reveals the very breath of God and how it speaks to us and moves our hearts when it is rooted again in good theology in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so I still love music. But buying into those things of the world, only God could renew my mind in that area. Only God could kind of show me the truth and the lies that I bought into, not only through the abuse I experienced, but also through the lies that I believe through the world. Oh, you got to look this way or dress this way. That's just such a load of crap. I'm sorry, it is. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are made exactly the way God intended you. The unfortunate thing is that we are all infected with a sinful nature, even though we are created in the way that God intended. We need to understand that. I know a lot of people like to say, well, God doesn't make mistakes. No, he doesn't, but we are still infected with a sinful nature, and we still have dysfunction. Don't use statements like that to cover up or be in denial over something God wants to change in your life. As a believer in Christ Jesus, that saying like, well, this is just the way that I am. Can I tell you how disrespectful that is to the cross of Calvary? Can't teach an old dog new tricks. I'm sorry, but that's the same thing. No matter how old we are, no matter how much we've learned or maybe even taught about Jesus Christ and Scripture, there's always more to learn. We're always in process. We are always being transformed into the image of our Creator, as our text says. Put on then the new self. Choose to have your identity rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Choose to have your identity rooted and grounded in the promise of eternal life and reminding ourselves that this world is not our home. Hallelujah. But our home is in the presence of the triune God, in a place with no more sin, no more pain, no more dysfunction, a place where death is no more. That's our true home. That's our true identity. And that's where peace comes from, and that's where assurance of faith comes from, because it all has to do with Jesus. But this is how we can, in that freedom, embrace the process of being molded into the person God longs for us to be. As new creations, we are to seek out, desire, and embrace God's truth for our lives, and to put off or dispense with the lies that the world and Satan try to sell us. I had someone come up to me and said, you didn't capitalize the proper name of Satan there. I never will. I never will. I'll never capitalize that name. And it may be simple or maybe kind of weird, but he's been defeated. And that's one way to remind myself that he has been defeated by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who has bought me with his blood, precious blood. But that's our goal. We want to do this. We don't have to do this, but we should want to. As an act of worship to a holy God, anger is a hindrance. If you keep going on down the text in verse 26, it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Man, we do it all the time, don't we? We do it through our anger. We do it through our judgmentalism. We do it with our critical spirit. We do it with all of these things that get in the way, our selfishness, our insecurities. But it says, give no opportunity to the devil. Paul reminds us that our words are important, especially as we walk toward that destination of unity and spiritual maturity. Our words do matter. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for the building up, reminding ourselves that words are like a hammer. You can build or you can tear down. How do you use your words? Are you allowing the love, grace, and mercy of Christ to flow in and through your life? We are to allow our words to build up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And so in the power of God's grace, we are to put off the old self and to remind ourselves, reaffirm, our identity is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, allowing the assurance of salvation and the victory of Christ Jesus to give us peace, a peace that surpasses all human understanding, so that we can allow his grace, mercy, and forgiveness to flow in and through our lives, to proclaim the saving gospel of Jesus Christ with and without words, not because we have to, but because we get to, and hopefully because we want to. Paul ends this chapter with a beautiful verse. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. The forgiven are called to forgive. May we walk in that reality, and may we do so as an act of worship to a Savior who has paid it all, and may we do so all the days of our lives. Lord, I thank you for this text, and I thank you for this reminder that we are in process and that process will never end. We can never learn too much about the forgiveness of God. We can never learn too much about the forgiveness that was rooted and grounded in the victory of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that we would walk in that victory, that we would rest in the completed work of Jesus Christ and allow that to inspire and enable us to allow you to mold us and shape us through the power of your word, to become the people you've called us to be transformed from one degree of glory to another, more and more like you and less like ourselves. That we can truly follow you all the days of our life, walking toward that destination of unity and spiritual maturity all the days of our life. I pray this would be so, and I pray this in Christ's name. And all of God's people said,